Hi, this is James Altucher. Thank you for listening to Eric Cabral's Entrepreneur Circle.
On this episode,
if you want more from life in terms of time, in terms of capital, then you may want to consider note investing as an opportunity. I highly encourage you to consider forming a note business so you can operate it on a high level, and that'll allow you to achieve what it is you're looking to achieve.
You have now entered the Entrepreneur Circle.
Hey there, folks. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Entrepreneur Circle podcast, where we inspire you by talking to entrepreneurs and business owners about mindset, goals, vision, tips and strategies on how to crush life and business. I am your host, Eric Cabral, real estate investor and a creative. I've been in the creative industry for over 20 years, got my start in New York City as a junior art director, and made my way up the corporate ladder to become the creative director at the number one pharma company in the world. That was until I decided to hang up my corporate hat and start my own creative agency called On Air Brands, where we broadcast your brand and your message using social media and live stream events. Hit us up at info@onairbrands.com to learn more. Also, like, subscribe, and share this podcast on social. We greatly appreciate you for it. And also, don't hesitate to send us any feedback that you may have, because we always love, love, love hearing from you. Before we jump into the show, I'd like to share what some of our sponsors, partners, and friends of the show have to offer you.
Hello, this is Josh McCowan, CEO of Viva May Hospitality and the beautiful Renault Resort Winery. I have to tell you, the secret's out, and the secret is On Air Brands. On Air Brands, creative agency, which specializes in launching podcasts, transforming live events into live streaming events, and social media marketing soup to nuts. On Air Brands has changed the game. There'll never be a day from here forward when you and I and our companies don't need to be on the air. Every brand needs to be on the air, but so few know that. So it's great to work with a group that are ahead of the curve and to find a company that has been built on the core foundation of the future of marketing. If you're ready to broadcast your brand like they've done for my brands, take the next step and make a change that can transform your business. Reach out to On Air Brands today. That's onairbrands.com. Yes, onairbrands.com.
Hey there, folks. We are back and excited to be here, because this is a unique episode coming at you, a series of episodes unique to the Entrepreneur Circle, because we had never done this before. But what this episode is one of many episodes coming from the Mid-Atlantic Summit, which was an amazing event put on by my good friend Dave Van Horn of PPR Note. And what was cool about the event was not just the wealth of content that was coming at us from every angle, multiple stages running at the same time in Philadelphia, but the quality of the people in the network, the people that were attending, the people that were on stage, the people that you were surrounded by were all next level. Part of a culture of people that just want to level up and help you level up and want to learn from each other and to grow one another and with each other. So this is such a cool event. I highly recommend Mid-Atlantic Summit. Check that out at midatlanticsummit.com. But what we were doing there was representing our event called PodMax. And we were so happy and so proud to be a sponsor and a partner with Dave at this event, because we flew our PodMax banner really proudly and we showed everyone what that event was. And if you aren't familiar with it, please go check out podmax.co. And what PodMax is an event that happens, it's one day, and we run entrepreneurs through the gauntlet of recording shows, one after the other, back to back, all under one house, one roof, and one day, the most efficient use of your time. And what's cool about it is we have partnered with a bunch of top-rated podcasts like MC Lobster's Cashflow Ninja and Matt Faircloth's DeRosa Group YouTube channel and Liz Faircloth's Real Estate Investor Show and Jason and Peely and Yerusi's REI Foundation. And for those of you who are big fans of the Entrepreneur Circle, Capital Hacking is there as well. So there's that and many, many more shows that are part of PodMax, and we get to give that to people an opportunity to tell their story on these multiple platforms and to share their story with all these different communities. So what we did was at the Mid-Atlantic Summit, set up a little slice of that experience on in one day or 2 days at the event where Mr. Josh Carey of The Hidden Entrepreneur was there interviewing people. And Josh is also part of the PodMax event. And he interviews people. And he is the ultimate professional when it comes to podcast interviews. Everyone on the team has internally started calling him the doctor. When he walks in the door, the doctor's in, because he gets to work. He operates, he gets into your brain, and he starts pulling things out that you never knew were even there. And it's such an amazing experience. And we were so truly blessed to have him there interviewing people. So this episode is an episode where Josh is a guest host on the Entrepreneur Circle interviewing people at the Mid-Atlantic Summit. So please check out our event if you want experience or you want to hear more about it, because it truly is a unique experience that we are giving to people, and we're really super proud to be helping entrepreneurs tell their story, broadcast their brand on multiple platforms. So check it out at podmax.co, and please hit the Apply Now button to enter into the next one. The dates will always be updated on our website. So check that out at podmax.co. And please enjoy this episode with special guest host, Josh Carey.
Well, hey there. Welcome back to another episode as we are here live at Mid-Atlantic Summit in beautiful Philly, PA. And it actually is beautiful. I got to get some fresh air a short time ago. And today, for some reason, in mid-October, is just beautiful. I am your host today, filling in wonderfully so for Eric Cabral of Entrepreneurs Circle. And I'm sitting here with Martin Sines. How's it going, Martin?
Good, good. How's it going with you? Obviously good from what I'm hearing.
Yes, exactly. And what am I hearing from you? You're enjoying this event?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of high quality players here, high quality content. It's just all around a good conference.
And you are the owner of Note Investing Made Easier. And I like that it's not Note Investing Made Easy, which you were quick to point out. What is the underlying difference?
Sure. Well, you know, with what I do, which is note investing, I essentially buy notes that are in a distressed state and work with the borrowers to make them profitable. So through the course of doing so, there's a level of complexity and a series of steps that need to be taken. So based on that, it's not an easy process, but the goal of the book and the brand is just to make it easier.
And I love when I was reading the name of your company, Note Investing Made Easier, I said, well, you went the route of just detailing what the end result, the value proposition is for the end user. And then it's because of a book?
Absolutely. Before the book came out, I was just on a journey, like a Lone Ranger journey. I was just note investing for myself individually. So the book was actually, derived from just having a spiritual calling to share my story as a note investor, which is why I put the pen to paper in 2017 to put it out.
Oh, so it's not just or not only a how-to, but it details your journey and story?
That's correct. It serves as both, because in some respects, I believe my journey is what a lot of people's journeys are. So for them, so to be able to relate to the reader was important to me, but also to give the how-to is equally important.
What is the story? What's the theme of that?
Sure. Well, I went to college. I did an MBA. I focused on doing that, you know, get a good education, take the safe and secure route by getting a good corporate job. But what I realized is I just wasn't a fit for corporate America. And as a result, I was fired in 2003 from a corporate job. And from that point launched, my entrepreneurial career.
What was the corporate job? What was the initial?
Sure. I managed a call center with 120 headaches. I mean, people.
Where?
In Columbia, Maryland.
Okay.
For a major retailer. And it was just, it was something like, just hundreds of emails per day. It dozens of conference calls per day. It was just a lot of busy work, I'd say. And I just didn't find the value. And obviously they didn't find the value in me, thank goodness.
Was there something that drew you into that when you got there, you thought, okay, it's actually not where I want to go. But was there something where you said, hey, this is exactly where I think I should be?
Yeah, it was called a paycheck.
Oh, Martin signs, ladies and gentlemen. I love it. Oh, so is it really that simple?
Yeah,
they're willing to hire me. I need to be hired and let's go.
That was the equation.
And then eventually you're like, this is just not for me and no harm, no foul. Or did you beat yourself up or what?
I it was very stressful for me. It was very stressful that the whole kissing up, the corporate politics, doing things that were not value-based, but were more just kind of, showcasing the things you had to do, to kiss up to a boss and everything else. It just wasn't me, my personality-wise. And I felt like it just wasn't a fit for me. And I was out of my element.
So they let you go.
Yeah.
You said, did you see that coming?
I was really thrilled when it happened. And that was my last paycheck was in 2003. So that's how many years, 16 years ago.
And from there, what were your next thoughts over the next day and days saying, hey, I'm just going to do what now?
I'm never going to do that again. That was my first thought.
Which is what? Are you talking about specifically?
Working a corporate job, working a job for someone else. I needed to be self-employed. I needed to do for myself.
Mm. And then you found the note industry?
No, actually, my wife and I started a government contracting company in the DC area. And so we went through all the trials and tribulations of building that from scratch out of the basement of our home.
Wow.
Taking on hundreds of thousands of dollars in credit card debt and other types of leverage to get that off the ground.
I have to connect some dots here. So you're in corporate America. I think you told me you have an MBA at that point. You get fired, thankfully, from your POV, from this corporate job. And then one of the next things you do is set up a business in the government sector. How did you even think that was possible?
Well, my wife and I looked at what we had in terms of our strengths and what we had in terms of, capabilities. And my wife's very creative and I'm very good from a marketing perspective. And we were looking for something, a tangible product that we could offer the marketplace. So we came up with museum exhibit displays. And we said we're going to focus on the federal market with museum exhibit displays. And what we found is we ran up to a brick wall because we were playing against a lot of large operations that had been in business for many decades and had, very deep pockets. So, but with that said, we just kind of went forward with it and we plowed ahead. And in 3 years after taking on all that debt and stress and everything, we turned the corner and we were able to buy a building that we operated our business out of. And it was just a complete 180 from where we started.
Was that your first entrance into real estate, buying that building?
Absolutely. So beforehand, I had been, I had taken workshops. I had taken, I had read Kiyosaki's books, all the learnings, but I never put it into practice because I wasn't ready from a mindset perspective. But come 2009, we were definitely ready.
I love that you said that. Is that something you're able to acknowledge now in retrospect, or could you have possibly known in the moment, now is not the time?
No, it wasn't so much now is not the time. It's It's where do I start? Everything sounds good. And not having confidence, not having good mentors, I think that would have been the roadblock for it.
And then you found all those things. You knew what you needed to fill in order to go forward.
I found what I needed to find when I was ready to receive. I think that's it. So we were when we were, you know, ready from a revenue perspective, we had money in the bank, we had growth in our business, so we needed another space. So wow. That was just the next logical thing, was to get into real estate. So it wasn't so much I have the knowledge, let me go and transact on something. It was that there was a necessity of needing a space, so I needed to just move and take action.
Is this all still part of the museum display government job?
Yeah, contracting company. Yeah. So we did that. We actually built it up to a very to a multi-million dollar company and sold it in 2013.
The very company that in the beginning of that company, you looked at much bigger players already doing that you were up against?
Correct. Yeah, we just became, you know, we worked like the Dickens. We obtained contracts, exclusive contracts in the Pentagon.
How?
And other facilities.
How?
That were very sensitive and high level. And we just really developed a very good reputation within the space. And that allowed us to obtain more contracts and become a sellable asset at the end
even
of the day.
Even up against these behemoths that were already in the space.
Absolutely, because we were more lean. And when they talked to people in my company, they were talking to the owner for the most part, my wife or myself. So we were able to make decisions. We were able to move, able to jump in a vehicle and go to locations, whereas larger companies would charge more for those activities and you'd be dealing with people that couldn't make decisions.
Wow. And then you said you sold this in 2013.
Correct.
And then what was the next game plan to jump right into...
Well, the reason we sold it is because you know, the whole time in the 2000s, I was looking for financial freedom. but what I found in small business ownership was I found that I was working twice as hard than I was in corporate America. However, it was very profitable. And so I was looking for the same financial freedom as I was building a rental portfolio for myself, which I still self-manage today. But what I found is I found dealing with tenants and trash and other nuances, and it didn't real estate landlording doesn't cash flow enough for you to retire the way you think you can retire. So what I said to myself is as I was learning the note industry, I said, this is where I need to be. I'm no longer seeking financial freedom. I'm seeking freedom of time. So my whole perspective changed.
That's fascinating. And now today you are the author of 4 books, 3 of them bestsellers, if I'm not mistaken. Did that surprise you that there's a writer in you, or were you always drawn to that?
So I received a spiritual calling in January of 2017, you know, and really what I felt in my heart to do was to relay my story in terms of how I got my investing career off the ground, because I felt like other people may have be able to benefit from that story and from the how-to nature of the book. So therein, you know, began my writing of the book, Note Investing Made Easier, which is my first book. And it came out in May. I never thought anyone would read it. And then it's been number 2 on Amazon in the note investing space since I wrote it, since it came out.
And how does that feel?
You know, it's a really big compliment. It's very humbling. It's I have a great deal of gratitude that it's been able to help some people, and I get compliments. People email me weekly to thank me and ask me for various things. And it was just very humbling.
I hear a lot that whatever the success is in this case, where your book is still sitting wonderfully at the top of Amazon in that category, and to hear you say, I never thought anybody would read it. How did we get from that point to this point?
Well, so from, you know, up until the point of writing the book, I had been a one-person operation as a note investor. and doing everything, day-to-day operations myself. So when the book came out, then I had people approach me to train them, to teach them what I know in a workshop setting. So I actually started doing workshops, and in my second workshop, which was really August of 2017, 2 months after the book came out, I was asked to if I could mentor two of the people that took the workshop. So there started the mentorship program. However, what I said to myself, what I kind of vowed to myself, is that it cannot be like other mentorship programs. It can't be just academics and theory, and you know, it has to come from a place I would be dedicated to those individuals and ensure that I give them everything that I have from a resource perspective. I'd bring them in on deals. So we double as a buyer's group. So I actually bring in the people I mentor into purchases that I'm doing myself at the current time.
What, so they can watch like over your shoulder?
No, so they can make purchases themselves. They
with
can get
you
started
by their side.
With me by their side in a mentorship capacity.
How brilliant is that?
It's been a very good model. I think it's been a very good model, and it's a very unique in the space. So people read my books, they come to my workshop. Some of them take the mentorship program. We double as a buyer's group. We all put in their money. We all put in money. We all put in effort with due diligence. I oversee the whole operation to make sure, because I have the most experience, and we just, it's been such a success.
I'm loving that. I'm feeling it. I'm getting that. I'm seeing that. But I'm also seeing that it's not a surprise, but some of it you couldn't have predicted. So what was it that allowed for even all this? Just taking, having faith, having confidence, taking a step, taking a chance. What allowed all this to develop for you?
I almost feel like it's an obligation, because I was looking within my space, and I can't speak for other industries. I can just speak within the node industry. There's not a lot of good training programs. There's people that train that aren't really doing this as for a living. So they may work a job and then train on the side because they got trained a year prior. But I'm someone that does this to feed my family. I have obtained freedom of time in my life. So actually my wife stays home and homeschools our four children. We live very comfortably, and I've been able to achieve all my financial goals. But most importantly, I see my kids all throughout the day much more than other fathers I know. So I have a lot of freedom of time, but I still don't abuse that. I work like the Dickens. However, I can honestly say I have freedom of time based on node investing.
To the person that's listening, who's not yet there, but really wants that, what's the next first thing they should be doing?
Service to others. It has to start there. There's no other way to do it. So most individuals, including myself, I've been guilty. I start with saying, I need to make this much money. I need to do this for myself. And you're just me, me, me. And the moment you drop all of that and you say, how can I be a massive service to a massive number of people on a consistent basis? That when you start thinking that way, then you're just opening the floodgates to possibilities. Mm. And set up a business that's gonna do that. And if you do that and you work it consistently over time, it's just gonna happen for you. All those things you seek, time, bank account figures, whatever, will come to you as a result.
Mindset is a big factor of all this in your life?
Absolutely. I was just talking to someone, Jason Scott last night, whom I deeply respect. And I was telling him about, you know, even when you have the positive mindset, which a lot of us do, you still have negative thoughts that creep into your mind throughout the day. You still have kind of offsetting thoughts that want to come in and they want to steal your joy. They want to steal your mindset and your focus. So it's not just having a mindset. It's crushing those negative thoughts or those deterring thoughts from taking away from your focus throughout the day. Each and every day you have to do that.
Martin, there is so much truth to what you just said. And I think that comment isn't spoken about, not even enough, but practically ever. The fact that, so the people who want to achieve a more positive mindset, and I'm speaking from personal experience, you think that it's either all or nothing. But I now, having been in that more positive mindset world, I understand exactly what you're saying. This is so important. This doesn't mean that you are happy-go-lucky, positive thoughts 24/7. No way. You have an equal balance, such as life, of these negative thoughts that creep in, that the win is knowing that they're there and not to be derailed by them.
Oh, yeah. And negative thoughts usually come in the form of this. Oh, wow. This is a problem that someone's having. They're making it a problem for me. And sometimes your mind just goes in a protective mode and says, this is a huge deal. This is going to crush you. This is overwhelming weight. And if you don't go and delete that thought, if you don't go and just evaporate it from your mind, then it's just going to start eating away from you. And it's a battle. Maybe this is just from specific to me, I don't know, but it's a battle I fight every day. But when I fight it and I start deleting those thoughts, then the rest of my day looks brighter, more positive things happen. I'm able to do what? I'm able to be of service to more people when I'm in a more positive mindset.
I feel like we can go on and on and on in this conversation. Before we wrap it up, help us, Martin, understand what is it we're saying and in this dialogue, and what really needs to be said to that person listening who needs to hear it.
If you want more from life in terms of time, in terms of capital, then you may want to consider note investing as an opportunity. However, if you do consider note investing as an opportunity, I highly encourage you to consider forming a note business so you can operate it on a high level, and that'll allow you to achieve what it is you're looking to achieve. So no half-stepping.
I love it. How in the world can people find you, follow up, and continue this conversation?
If you go to noteinvestingmadeeasier.com.
I love it. And we'll find your books, right? Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I'm a fan.
Thank you.
I'm all about you. Martin Sines.
I'm a fan of you guys too.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have a great setup here.
I appreciate it.
That's it for now, folks. If you'd like to stay in touch with the show, you can contact me directly at eric@onairbrands.com. That's Eric, E-R-I-K. At onairbrands.com. And if you aren't already subscribed to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And please recommend us to one or two people in your circle. That will go a long, long way to growing our community. Also, if you could rate us on iTunes, just take a moment to give us 5 stars. And if they have more stars, give all of them. We'd greatly appreciate you for that. And always, always like, subscribe, and share this show on social media. We'd love you for that as well. And if you have any ideas or want to hear something on a future show, please hit us up. Maybe you have a question for one of my guests, or you want to tell a story, a success story. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that, especially if you're on the Anchor platform. You can leave us a voice message. We'd love to incorporate you and your voice on a future episode. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. Please like, subscribe, and share. I am Eric Cabral, and as always, remember, your network is your net worth. So get in the circle.